Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Fox Sports On the Road. I'm your host, Michael Cohen. We're broadcasting here on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey and Fox Sports Jersey Shore. But I'm not in New Jersey right now. In fact, right now I'm across the pond in the United Kingdom. I'm going to be checking out the Jets-Vikings game in London tomorrow. I cannot wait to check this thing out. All the festivities, all the sights and sounds. Always wanted to come across the pond at some point, just from the historical perspective, obviously. And why not take advantage of that with this opportunity? So that's why I'm in London right now. Well, while I'm here to check out the Jets game tomorrow, of course, we'll be playing right now here on this show Greg Schiano's press conference a little bit later on in the program, as Rutgers is getting ready to take on Nebraska today at 12 noon out in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's going to be a big road game for the Scarlet Knights. We'll play that audio for you a little bit later on. But we begin things with a little bit of baseball, and boy, what a wild week it has been in Major League Baseball. My goodness. The New York Mets played possibly the greatest regular season game you can possibly imagine earlier this week. When they defeated the Atlanta Braves 8-7 in the first game of a doubleheader down in Atlanta in what was going to determine who was going to make the playoffs. And all the drama that was involved, the Mets being down 3-0 for almost three-quarters of that game, all the way until the eighth inning when New York rallied for 6 runs in the eighth inning, capped off by Brandon Nimmo's 2-run home run. Then you see Edwin Diaz and Phil Maton implode in the bottom of the eighth. And, of course, obviously, Atlanta comes back. Ozzie Albies with a 3-run double puts Atlanta back in front. The ultimate roller coaster of emotions that Met fans had to be feeling all afternoon watching that ball game. The dread of knowing that there's a chance that you're going to have to go into a Game 2 win or go home scenario in Game 2. That's what you're thinking for most of this afternoon watching that game. Then the elation of seeing the Mets come all the way back to take the lead and then only to see it get coughed up all over again. It was incredible. The rise and fall that you had to feel watching that game was something that you don't often feel for regular season baseball games, and you felt that. It was like a Game 7. That's what that felt like on Monday afternoon. And then for Francisco Lindor, who has been, in my mind, the MVP of the National League. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say it's going to be Shohei Ohtani, and it should be. I understand it from the statistical perspective, but Francisco Lindor, in my mind, is the MVP of this team, and maybe even MVP of this league, because he has come up big in big spots. He has played games while hurt, as he has down the stretch here with a back injury. The 2-run homer that gives the Mets the lead for good at 8-7, absolutely an incredible moment in Mets history, as it gives the Mets the lead. They hold on in the bottom of the ninth inning and win the game, and they head to Milwaukee for that NL wildcard series. And I'm going to say what I said on my YouTube channel podcast. Doesn't matter what the Mets do the rest of the postseason. They could go out there, they could get swept by Milwaukee. They could go out there and win 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee and advance to the next series against Philadelphia in the division series, which would be a phenomenal series should that have come to pass. But the Mets gave their fans a season that they'll never forget. We have seen it from the start of June all the way until this point in time. Really, it kind of started around that time when the Mets and Phillies, ironically, were in the United Kingdom themselves playing those 2 games. So that's really when this turning point started. We can talk about Grimace. You could talk about the OMG song. They have been riding on a wave of emotion. The chemistry in that clubhouse has been some of the best we have seen from this franchise in a very, very long time. And they were just a special collection of players. The fan engagement, the light shows, everything that was involved with regards to the Mets this year was just top-notch. And they have been and really have set the groundwork. And you got to give a lot of credit here. And I'm kind of going all over the place right now. You got to give a lot of credit here to a number of people. One, Steve Cohen and this front office for having the fortitude last year in 2023 to break things up with the way they did, trading Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander to rebuild that minor league system, to entrust a lot of the young players on this team, like a Francisco Alvarez and a Mark Vientos, to carry the day, and even guys like David Peterson to turn into a top-flight starter, as he has in this rotation for the New York Mets. And then you obviously go to Carlos Mendoza, who has been, in my mind, possibly a strong candidate for manager of the year, to come in a tough situation, take over for a very popular manager in Buck Showalter, who was the manager of the year just 2 years ago, and really put his own imprint on this team almost right away. In fact, take a listen to Mendoza's postgame to the Met players after they clinched their playoff spot.
Before the year started, nobody thought we would be in this position. Everyone had us out. We got to April. By the time we got to the end of May, we were sellers. Everybody, few of you guys needed to be traded. And guess what? You guys got together. You guys trusted each other. You had each other's back. You held each other accountable. And here we are.
You can hear just in that this is a guy who just knows how to take bulletin board material and use it to his advantage. He is able to motivate these players from that standpoint, and he's also able to encourage these guys to go out there and put forward their best foot, put their best foot forward, which they do every single night. So in my mind, whatever happens to the Mets in this postseason, they have set the foundation for years to come, and especially in 2025, if you're a Met fan, you have to be excited about what's to come for this New York Mets franchise. Now, whether they advance far in the playoffs or not, of course, that's not for me to say, and it's going to be a tough task because you go up and down this postseason. The National League is very deep. We all know how good the Philadelphia Phillies are. We're one of the best teams in the league all year long. The Dodgers, of course, the Shohei Ohtani, who's had an incredible season, probably going to be the MVP of the league. The Padres have been the best team in baseball over the last 3 or 4 months. And then you take a look at the American League. You have a team like the Detroit Tigers, who over the last 2 months, since August, have been incredible, getting themselves into a wild card situation. And I think the American League this year is a little weaker than the National League. I'm really curious to see how this thing's going to play out. You know, does Baltimore have enough pitching? And do they have the youthful ignorance in a wild ways? Because this group for the Orioles hasn't been to a postseason, to not just win a series against another youthful team in the Royals, but whoever comes out of that series, to give the Yankees a tough series. Because for the Yankees, they're the top dog in this American League right now. I know there's a lot of questions about the starting pitching outside of Gerrit Cole, and even Cole has his questions going into the postseason as far as his health is concerned. But, you know, it's been a topsy-turvy year for the Yankees in a lot of ways. Especially from the standpoint of health in that rotation. Nestor Cortes has been inconsistent. Luis Gil, after a great start, inconsistent. Marcus Stroman's been inconsistent. Can the Yankees get consistent starting pitching and also good bullpen throughout the course of this postseason? That's the only way the Yankees are going to have a chance to advance towards the World Series. And also, who's going to step up outside of Aaron Judge and Juan Soto? Because, you know, a lot of teams are going to be saying, four fingers, walk those guys. We're not going to pitch to a Juan Soto or Aaron Judge. We'd rather pitch to somebody like a Gleyber Torres or somebody like a Austin Wells or Anthony Volpe. Can some of these guys who have the good pedigrees, and the Yankees have a lot of players who have had good careers both in the minor leagues and have shown signs here in the major leagues, can somebody step up? And that's the key for the Yankees, step up and get that big hit in a big spot. Move a runner over, steal a base. Not necessarily hit the three-run home run, but get the big base hit in a big spot. Yankees have players who have done that before, like an Anthony Rizzo did that, of course, with Chicago with the Cubs. Giancarlo Stanton, a veteran player. Aaron Judge, a veteran player. Juan Soto is a veteran player himself. Remember, he's been to a World Series with the Washington Nationals. Who is going to step up for the Yankees from the offensive standpoint? Because this is a team, and again, you look at the American League, the Yankees should find a way to get through to a World Series, but of course that's easier said than done, especially when you have young teams like the Orioles, the Tigers, the Royals, who don't know what failure is like in the postseason, and they'll be ready chomping at the bit. So really looking forward to seeing how this postseason turns out here. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch throughout the course of the month of October. We're back after this on Fox on the Road.